Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. I bet that's not how you thought the show would begin. And now you can't unhear it. But I'm on the final countdown, man. I'm on the final approach. We are landing the plane. The family invasion takes place in 6 days. So it was a busy weekend of baking and hanging the last Christmas lights. I have them in three different rooms in my house. In my house, not outside my house. I don't care what people outside think. I want to see them on the inside of my house. It was preparations for the family to show up for the holidays. And so I hope you had a great weekend. I hope it was full of holiday preparations, whether it be Hanukkah, whether it be Christmas, whatever it is that you've got coming up in the final couple weeks here of 2019. Wow, that's a lot to take in as well. Chris and I were just talking about various holiday plans that we have for the show. And since we're both going to be here on New Year's Eve, we thought it would be fun to do kind of an end of year show. And then we realized it's also the end of a decade. And so pretty soon I'm going to have to get used to saying 2020. Whether I like it or not, because 2020 sounds weird. So there's a lot that's happening in the next couple weeks, both in our lives as well as in football. Wowzers, what a weekend. And it is coming together in the NFL. We have now 8 of the 12 playoff spots claimed. They are spoken for. Here is the latest. From the AFC, both the Patriots and the Bills out of the AFC East will be playing in January. We already knew about the Ravens and the Chiefs. They have both clinched division titles. Now, the Patriots have the nose in front for the East division title. But if the Bills win out, which would include a victory over the Patriots, and the Patriots lose their last two games, there is still that slim chance that Buffalo could claim the East crown. But regardless of whether it's a wild card or whether it's the division title, congratulations to Buffalo. Second playoff spot under Sean McDermott. The second time in 3 years. Only the second time this century, which every time I say it just sounds so wow, next level. But the second time since 99, and not nearly as dramatic as what we saw two seasons ago when they snuck into the playoffs because Cincinnati got a touchdown in the final minute against Baltimore. That was dramatic. This one, not quite so much. The number 3 ranked defense that makes life miserable and tough for opposing quarterbacks, and an offense that will hurt you. Can hurt you a variety of ways. Also a team that travels well. The Buffalo Bills are now 6-1 on the road. And they beefed up that mark and clinched a playoff spot in their first Sunday night appearance in 12 years. Those of you who are longtime Buffalo fans will remember the last time they were on Sunday Night Football, they lost to New England by 46 points. I don't remember that, but I'm sure those of you who are Bills fans will. But this was worthy of being flexed. And we'll get to Sunday Night Football coming up here. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Let the conversation continue deep into the night. And also on our Facebook page. We have 2 weeks and one game remaining in the NFL regular season. In the NFC, 3 more teams joining the playoff parade. the Green Bay Packers, the Seattle Seahawks, the San Francisco 49ers, all of the same record. Whoo! Talk about being top heavy. The Packers extend their win streak to 3 in a row, though it wasn't pretty against the rival Bears, but a win is a win is a win is a win. And I guess as a bonus, Green Bay also got to knock Chicago out of the playoffs officially. The Bears were eliminated. So the Packers lock up a playoff spot, though the division title in the NFC North is not yet guaranteed. The Seahawks and Niners, they flip-flop spots, at least for now. Seattle has the tiebreak at this point, though they will still lock horns in the final game of the regular season. But for now, because Seattle won on the road again, in fact, the Seahawks, they're now finished with their road slate, 7-1 away from CenturyLink Field. They actually have fewer losses on the road than they do at home. The Niners also at 11-3, and they use the back door into the playoffs. Because the Rams lost in Dallas, it's kind of funny, that Dallas victory over the Rams put a couple of other teams in the playoffs, but not the Cowboys, not yet. As for the Cowboys, they are tied with the Eagles at 7-7. And oh, what to come in week 16, but Dallas and Philadelphia doing battle. So again, we have 8 of the 12 playoff teams decided, though the seeds are very much up in the air. The division titles still up in the air. The Pittsburgh Steelers right now find themselves inside the playoff bubble. But that bubble could be burst if they stumble these next couple weeks. So already talk about the Steelers potentially catching the Ravens week 17 with nothing on the line. So that Baltimore might sit the majority of its playmakers. It might go out there with second and third stringers in week 17 if the Ravens have already clinched the top seed in the AFC and home field advantage. So we'll see whether or not that happens and whether or not John Harbaugh chooses to play week 17 that way. That could break well for the Steelers. The Steelers can't slip up again if they want to make the playoffs. The Titans are right there at 8-6 as well. And if you leave that door open, another team in the league is happy to steal that real estate from you. So yeah, it feels like it's coming together, and yet there's still so much to be decided. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS. There is a lot that I want to get to. We've got some teams that are trudging their way to the finish line. So the complete opposite of having something to play for, like these teams we've talked about for the first few minutes. There are other teams that are just playing out the string. And then there are teams like the Atlanta Falcons who potentially are fighting for their coach's job. Really impressed with the way that the Falcons went into Santa Clara and hung tough with the Niners long enough to give themselves a chance at the very end. We had a couple of bittersweet farewells, potentially. One we know for sure, another one that may or may not be goodbye forever. And so we'll get to those as well. And a lot of setup for what's to come in the final 2 weeks of the regular season, which is why I never take off these weeks during the holidays. I'll take some nights off, but not week 16 and week 17, the Sunday nights into Mondays, because there's so much going on. Really, I have to follow football anyway, so I might as well come into work. So we're going to get to as much as we possibly can. It's good to hear from you this weekend on Twitter and Facebook. I really didn't have a lot of time for social media, but it's better that way because there's a whole lot of social media in our future. We'll take your votes for Monday MVP when we put the poll up sometime in the next couple of hours. As always, some really impressive candidates, and it's hard to narrow it down to 4. But we allow you the creative license to pick. I tell you what, just watching Patrick Mahomes navigate the snow at Arrowhead Stadium, A, made me jealous. I want to play in the snow. That looks so much fun. It was beautiful. And B, Was he the only one who looked like he wasn't playing in the snow? Everybody else struggled with the snow, or at least looked like they were playing football in the elements. Yeah, not Pat Mahomes. Ignore the Kansas City Chiefs at your own peril. Their record, their stats may not be as gaudy, but this team is definitely, I'm going to use my air quotations, back. So are the Buffalo Bills. It's been a long time since they've had double-figure wins. And it certainly was a defense-first brawl. Oh, wait, that's a bad word to use with the Steelers. Sorry. It was a defense-first slugfest. It was defense-first. I don't even need a noun. It was defense-first at Heinz Field with a fair number of members of the Bills Mafia on hand. You don't always see that. This was a scoreless game after the opening quarter on Sunday Night Football. Three turnovers in the first half. So if defense is not your thing, well, this probably wasn't your game. But it did pick up. Tied at 10 with 10 minutes to go. And as opposed to using Devin Singletary, as opposed to going 3 yards in a cloud of dust, as opposed to playing it conservative, Sean McDermott, Josh Allen, John Brown, they open this up as they start what would be their final scoring drive. So a 40-yard chuck downfield from Allen to John Brown, and it was on. You knew that the Bills needed to take advantage of this opportunity, and they had missed some opportunities. Unable to score after they'd produced turnovers. But in this case, on this stage, first time in 12 years for them on Sunday Night Football, I felt like it was a drive worthy of a playoff team.
From the 14-yard line, they need 9 yards to keep the drive going. Here's the snap. Allen looks to his left, now goes back right side. It is caught. Touchdown, Tyler Kroft. Touchdown, Buffalo. He looked everybody off. He looked to the left and fired it to Tyler Kroft on the right side. Touchdown, Bills. The go-ahead score. Here's the snap. Here comes the rush. Tremaine Edmonds trying to break through there. He throws to the end zone. Got a man there. It is picked off. Intercepted by Jordan Poyer in the end zone. He picked it off. The pass intended in the end zone for Deion Kane. And Jordan Poyer had time to step in front of it. He goes down in the end zone and picks it off. 16 seconds left. Here's the snap. Hodges looks, runs to his left, directing traffic. Fires it into the end zone. It is picked off. It is intercepted. It is picked up by the Bills. That should do it.
Great environment for a football game, playoff environment. Just what more can I say about the guys in the locker room, the guys and the gals in the locker room? Just unbelievable resilience, unbelievable character, heart.
For the Buffalo Bills now at 10-4, it appears as though they have turned the corner. And not just with a fluky last-second entry into the playoffs. Under Sean McDermott, again, it's a top-three defense, a team that travels well, a quarterback who has only lost consecutive games once in his career. Say what you will about Josh Allen. A lot of times it's a bumpy road. He is an all-or-nothing kind of a quarterback. High risk, but high reward. With Josh Allen, the Bills have only lost back-to-back games once in his career. Buffalo now has a 1,000-yard receiver in John Brown. They've got a rookie running back in Devin Singletary that makes them forget about LeSean McCoy, or at least not miss him quite as much. And now Buffalo is into the playoffs for just the second time this century. And at 10-4... it's their first double-digit win season since we turned from 1999 to 2000. This is Jim Kelly era stuff, peeps. And I know he's happy. And I'm glad he's happy. Pittsburgh with 5 turnovers. Rookie quarterbacks giveth and rookie quarterbacks taketh away. And only 51 yards rushing. So the offense hard to come by, as it has been for the Steelers during stretches this season. The defense kept them in the game. But ultimately, that 70-yard drive and the closers, the Bills' D, turned out to be the difference. So we'll hear from Mike Tomlin as well as from Josh Allen. Sunday Night Football giving us yet another team into the NFL playoffs. It is all coming together. Thanks so much for joining us. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Did a lot of football tweeting. It helps me to keep things straight when I get in studio after a long day of games. You can also find us on Facebook. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
From the 14-yard line, they need 9 yards to keep the drive going. Here's the snap. Allen looks to his left. Now goes back right side. It is caught. Touchdown, Tyler Kroft. Touchdown, Buffalo. He looked everybody off. He looked to the left and fired it to Tyler Kroft on the right side. Touchdown, Bills. The go-ahead score.
The goal is not just to get into the playoffs. So there's a lot of work to be done, a lot of things that we need to learn from this tape, and we will. And we'll go out and apply it to the football field and try to become the best team that we can possibly become.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
John Murphy is the longtime play-by-play voice of the Buffalo Bills, and Josh Allen has bigger goals than just clinching the playoffs. And the AFC East is still technically within reach, though it's a bit of a mountain to climb. But the Bills are into the postseason, into the tournament for the second time in 3 years under Sean McDermott. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. As much as this was not their best display, I'm still extremely impressed with what Mike Tomlin has done this season with the Pittsburgh Steelers. To be on now a third string quarterback who was an undrafted rookie in Devlin Hodges, to be without your future Hall of Fame quarterback essentially since the first quarter of week two, though he wasn't himself in the season opener either, got hurt against the Patriots in their first game, to be without Juju Smith-Schuster in the wake of Antonio Brown's departure. James Conner returned in tonight's game, but he'd been gone for several games because of injury. So they're missing big-time playmakers on the offensive side, and it's been up to the defense to keep them in games. And yet the Steelers entered this football game on Sunday night with wins in 7 of their last 8 after a 1-4 start to the season. So that's impressive. I don't know if the Steelers make the playoffs. There is some competition. The Tennessee Titans had been playing good football. It got stymied by the Texans, though they still do have another game against Houston coming up in week 17. So it's going to be a fight to the finish here for Pittsburgh. But the fact that the Steelers are even in the conversation, to me, is more impressive than last year. You remember last year, they led the AFC North until John Harbaugh made a change at quarterback, and the Steelers ended up losing all 4 of their games to the West Division, some of them in just embarrassing fashion. And they had guys inside their own locker room calling them the Kardashians of the NFL. This is better. Of course, when you lose your Pro Bowl quarterback, life is going to be difficult, but I'm impressed with how the Steelers have responded to adversity. I'm impressed with how they've responded to their coaching and their leadership. To me, this is more impressive than what I've seen from the Steelers in a long time, even when they were high-flying, high-octane, superstars everywhere. I like the grit. I like the grind. And potentially, the Steelers get rewarded with a playoff spot, though they've made life a little difficult for themselves.
We got to tip our caps to those guys and congratulate them, not only on winning the game, but just, you know, not blinking and making the significant plays and the significant moments. That's something that we pride ourselves in. We didn't make those plays today. They did. It was a 10-10 ball game. They got a chunk play to John Brown, and that produced a significant field position switch that they were able to score on that series, and then we weren't able to take care of the ball as we were trying to move it, particularly as time became a factor.
Devlin Hodges finishes this game with 202 yards passing. He had a touchdown, but he also had four interceptions. And while he didn't end up becoming the first undrafted rookie to win his first four starts, I think he embodies that toughness from Mike Tomlin. And so it was rough, but rookie quarterbacks giveth and rookie quarterbacks taketh away.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes you make plays, sometimes you don't. I mean, it definitely wasn't that we weren't trying. I mean, we were trying to make plays, and sometimes the ball didn't bounce our way.
James Conner on the field for the first time since missing five of the last six, had a shoulder injury, did have a touchdown pass. I mean, sorry, he had a touchdown reception. He caught a touchdown pass, about 40 yards rushing. But this night certainly belonged to the Bills and Bills Mafia, who were there at Heinz Field. Final home game of the season for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Since they cannot win the division, they would not be at home to start the playoffs. You never know how things might break their way, so I don't want to tell you it's definitively their last game at Pittsburgh or at Heinz Field this season. Again, it would take a lot of upsets, but you never know how things break once they get into January, if, in fact, the Steelers make it into January. So coming up next, we're going to head to the Steel City. Is there a chance that Mike Tomlin will make another change at quarterback? Interesting comments from him following the game. So we'll get the scoop from Chris Adamski, who is covering the Steelers on Sunday Night Football. Last time Chris covered a national game, it was the brawl. Thursday Night Football. Browns, Steelers. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Interesting debate that I've been having with some of you over the course of the afternoon and the evening about whether or not Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer. So maybe we'll get to that, because it was one of the, we'll call it bittersweet farewells, if in fact it turns out to be the final season for Eli Manning in the NFL. The Giants fans certainly sent him out in style, as did his teammates. Also, the final game at the Oakland Coliseum, or at the Alameda County Coliseum for the Oakland Raiders. They are getting ready to move to Las Vegas. And the way they lost, rough, after being up two scores at halftime to Jacksonville. But it's been that kind of a second half for the Oakland Raiders. And I was trying to put myself in the shoes of Raiders fans on Sunday, and I found it difficult. I know there are some teams out there that have seen their franchises move to other cities, and they can certainly identify. So if you're a Raiders fan and you are feeling it, I know we have a lot of listeners in the Bay Area. I'd love to hear from you. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico, with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. It's all coming together, and yet still so much hanging in the balance. But the Bills are in. The Patriots are in. They join the Ravens and the Chiefs, the Packers, the Niners, the Seahawks, all in, along with the Saints in the NFC. I love this time of the year. And we're inside of 10 days to Christmas.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Snap to Hodges. Here comes the pressure. Hodges going to get dropped. Trent Murphy brings him down back at the 23-yard line. They sack him. They sack him for a loss of nine. Just exactly what the Buffalo Bills needed there.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
In fact, four interceptions of the opposing quarterback in hostile territory is exactly what the Buffalo Bills needed. John Murphy with the call of Sunday Night Football on the Bills Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Buffalo becomes the eighth team into the playoffs. Second time this century. Really impressive for Sean McDermott and for Buffalo. It can be hit or miss on offense, but man, that defense is tough. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome Chris Adamski, who covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. This game certainly started and finished with defense, Chris. What was the difference in the middle as the Bills came away with the win?
Well, as famously around here anyway in Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin said when he first gave Duck Hodges the job was he didn't kill us. That's kind of like when the quote sort of a backslapping compliment that way, for Devlin Hodges, that was his greatest attribute, and that certainly did not happen today. He fumbled once, and they didn't lose the fumble, but that was another opportunity for a turnover. The four interceptions, and a couple of them were at the very end there, and I don't want to kill him for those two because they were sort of desperation plays, trying to get his receiver to make a play to tie the game there at the very end. But you know, when you have those five turnovers, there was a shanked punt that led to the first Buffalo touchdown. There were some, untimely penalties by the Steelers too. And the Steelers, it's pretty remarkable they got to 8-5, and they're still, even with this loss, in a playoff spot. But without not only Ben Roethlisberger, but they're down a lot of other pieces on offense. No Juju Smith-Schuster. They've lost Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell. So to get to this point, they've had to have a lot of things. They have to play pretty perfect games on defense and not turn the ball over, at least on offense, because even at their best, they're not scoring a lot of points. So that kind of all crashed down on them here tonight against Buffalo, and you see the result.
Why Devlin Hodges over Mason Rudolph? What does Duck do differently or better?
Well, I do think there's sort of an intangible that the team sort of is. You know, Devlin's he's a fun guy. You know, he definitely has a personality. Like, he has nothing to lose. I mean, he's certainly on house money. I mean, this guy wasn't even just an undrafted. Not only was he from, FCS ball, not only was he undrafted, he wasn't even signed after the draft. He had to come to the Steelers on a tryout. I mean, this is pretty unprecedented for him to win three games, his first three starts under those circumstances. I mean, scouts make mistakes all the time. Teams make mistakes, and that's fine. I mean, Tony Romo was a 1AA quarterback who was undrafted, but he was, Devlin Hodges wasn't even signed, and he had to make the tryout at rookie camp a couple weeks later. So, I think, the Steelers had long, once they lost Ben Roethlisberger this season, they knew what they had to do to win games, the only way they could win games. And this offense has really been hamstrung here, but they've won 7 out of 8 until tonight. And I believe it's 12 offensive touchdowns now in their past 9 games. But there they are in the playoffs. So, the point kind of being, to answer your question going around it, is that the offense wasn't really doing much anyway, and I think there's sort of it sort of fits the Steelers' mindset, I guess. They have nothing to lose in a way, and they're kind of going out there and, forgive the pun, winging it right now. And I think, Hodges was certainly a little more in the intangible that would fit better with what the offense is doing right now.
Is there any chance that Tomlin makes a change at that position with these last two games and the playoffs kind of hanging in the balance?
Yeah, he wouldn't commit to it, so I suppose there is a chance. I think when he first made the move he made the move during a game in Cincinnati, and Hodges led the comeback victory. He was very particular about saying that when the next week's game, that it was only a one-game thing. It was against Cleveland at home. He wasn't going to commit to it beyond that. He wouldn't commit to anything after this game either. So there is a chance, but I don't know how much. Again, the offense wasn't doing much under Mason Rudolph. I wouldn't be shocked, I guess, if Tomlin did pull the trigger on that. But at the same time, I don't anticipate it, because it would be sort of a little bit jarring here with two games to go in the season and them kind of fighting for their playoff lives here to do that, especially whenever it wasn't like, Rudolph had a pretty big, a much bigger sample size than Hodges has shown, and really didn't do too much with it with the Steelers offense in terms of point production.
Mm. Chris Adamski with us here After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Tribune. You tweeted about the fact that a lot of Bills fans were there inside Heinz Field. How loud was it?
Yeah, it was really, Steelers are known, when the Steelers travel, for having a big contingent. Devlin Hodges' previous road starts were in Arizona and Los Angeles, and there was certainly, without question, more Steelers fans in those places than there were visiting teams. And it's pretty rare that you see a large contingent of visiting fans at Heinz Field. And, without going back and thinking every game, and there's probably, when you go back 19 years, and I wasn't at all those games, especially the early ones, so I can't say with the, you know, definitively it was the most visiting fans for a Steelers game here, but if it wasn't, it was close. And there was loud, you know, cheering after each of the scores, after the turnovers. Mm-hmm. At one point late in the game when the Steelers were driving to try to get that tying touchdown, the Bills bench was doing that, you know, noise, you know, going into the crowd, putting their palms up and moving their arms up, which is almost unthinkable here.
Wow.
And Ben Roethlisberger on the other side had to do the other opposite and put his hands down to get everybody to be quiet again. So that was something. It was certainly, I think, you know, the Bills fans are fired up. It's their second playoff berth here in 20 years, and they get a pretty good team, and they get a chance to knock out the Patriots next week.
The Pittsburgh Steelers took a lot of criticism when they traded away a first-round pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick after losing Ben Roethlisberger in the first month of the season. That defense has turned into a force. What have you seen with that transformation over the course of the season?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, I'll wear that as much as anybody else. I thought it was a curious move at the time, and but you know, they at the time, even if worst case, if this season didn't work out. You have a guy, and the signing bonus is already paid, so the salary cap, you have him on a low cap hit now for three more years this year and two more. And so, and they always evaluate, they liked him as a top 10 pick, so to get him for, even if it was going to be a top 10 pick, they didn't think it was a bad trade in that sense. And wow, I mean, the Steelers defense has been just, you know, dominant. It's kind of a shame from a Steelers perspective that they don't have, you know, the killer bees with this defense right now. They still have Le'Veon Bell in his prime and Antonio Brown in his prime and Ben Roethlisberger in his prime, you know, just for a few years ago when the defense was, you know, the defense got good there for a little bit, then Ryan Shazier injury happened and things like that. But you pair that with this, and you know, he's just been a perfect complement. The Steelers secondary. And the thing is, too, there's a lot of other new faces from this year compared to previous years. Steven Nelson has been a really great find in the free agent market. The Steelers aren't known for, you know, signing unrestricted free agents, but he's been a perfect fit for them. And the secondary, Mark Barron's been pretty good at inside linebacker. Devin Bush, of course, was a top 10 pick to trade up for as a rookie. So he's not the only one, but, you know, even from those first 2 weeks and since, how dominant the Steelers defense has been. And Minkah, you can just tell his instincts. He finds the ball, and he's done it all season long since he's been here.
Chris Adamski of the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. So I didn't realize this until tonight that Sean McDermott and Mike Tomlin were college teammates at William and Mary. Did Coach Tomlin have anything to say about McDermott this week or even after the game?
Yeah, they talked. I mean, they seem, you know, they definitely have a good relationship, and they have a lot of respect for each other. Another, in fact, Dan Quinn, the Falcons coach, was on. Well, now he wasn't on the team, but he was a coach, assistant coach in that one of those teams too, one of those years. So that's pretty remarkable for a smaller school like that, and they have two teammates that were, that were teammates, and here they are, NFL coaches, a couple decades later. And they joked around with each other. You know, Mike said that, you could tell Sean was 2 years younger, but he was already more mature than me. And, you know, McDermott kind of laughed that off and said, no, I always looked up to Mike, you could tell. And McDermott went there as a walk-on. He turned himself into a all-conference a player in the secondary. And I would actually, the fun part for me is I knew some of that, but to watch, you know, kind of in the retrospects, I saw some of the highlights. Mike Tomlin is back in the day for William and Mary, and what is that, the Patriot League? I don't even know for sure what it is, but but yeah, it was kind of a neat story, especially for, you know, a school of, you know, of that, you know, we're not talking, you know, Alabama or anything like that.
Right.
So it's kind of neat to have two teammates, not even the same school, just two teammates to play together, coaching against each other in the NFL.
It's the Collegiate Athletic Association, the CAA.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Yeah, I'm not up on my FCS.
Oh, gosh. Well, they've changed. Yeah, I was going to say the conferences have been realigned so many times since they played. I'm sure it wasn't the CAA when they were there. So the last time the Steelers were on a national stage, the game ended with that crazy brawl against the Browns. Actually, it wasn't NBC. I was listening to Westwood One. They made a bit of a quip about Maurkice Pouncey being nominated for the Man of the Year and wondering if that was because of his role in the brawl. Is there any fallout remaining from what happened a few weeks ago?
Well, it was, you know, in one of those kind of quirks, they did play the Browns 2 weeks later. And, you know, and maybe even, I'm sure, I imagine the NFL made sure that whatever suspension, and it was initially a three-game suspension to Pouncey, they knocked it down to two on appeal. I imagine if that Browns game was 3 weeks later, they would have left it at 3 weeks just to sort of, you know, let everything calm down a little bit more. And, you know, there's definitely will be, I'm sure there'll be repercussions going into next year. And, you know, that's kind of, that's one of the things, you know, almost before my time, pretty much. I guess before my time, I could say the Steelers and Browns was the big rivalry. And pretty much, you know, unless you're, you know, over 40, you don't know that that's the, you know, around here it's been Ravens the past couple decades, and we had the Bengals there for about 5 or 6 years earlier this decade, actually, where it was simmering. That was a feud, and it looks like it could be Browns now. And, you know, that's Marquise Pouncey. He's always been that way. He's a real gregarious, laughable, he's always smiling no matter where he goes. And he had a lot of fun with that, too, getting the man of the year. And he's aware enough. He knew. He's like, you bet you guys didn't think I'd get this whenever last time you saw him in the field, you know, something like that. So, I'm sure whenever that schedule comes out, it'll be circled. And I bet you NBC or somebody, it'll be a national game because or maybe it won't be. Maybe the NFL won't want it on it. That was the rumor around here, too. That they moved the game from 4:15 to 1 p.m. the Steelers Browns game because they didn't want to have any shenanigans on for everybody to see. So, but it'll be noted. Trust me, I'm sure, especially in Cleveland, where you know Pittsburgh's kind of their white whale.
No doubt. Well, the way to get the last laugh is to make the playoffs with the Browns on the outside looking in. And right now, Pittsburgh does sit in the number 6 seed, but they still have 2 road games and no margin for error. You can follow Chris on Twitter at @C_AdamskiTrib. And you can find what he writes, what he believes, what he thinks, his opinions on TribLive.com about the Steelers. Chris, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. Merry Christmas to you.
Anytime. You too, Amy. Merry Christmas to you and everybody else, too.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.